Begin the current daf Masechet the Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Daled. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara is in the middle of discussing a Mishnah Machshirin. That's a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chum regarding the susceptibility of milk that comes out of an animal shelo l'ratzon, not with the intention of taking out the milk. And that is, everyone agrees regarding the milk of a woman that if it comes out even shelo l'ratzon, if the milk comes out with not an intention of having it come out, so then it's still going to make the food item susceptible to tumah. That is, food items can only become vulnerable to tumah if they're touched by one of the seven liquids. And milk is one of those liquids. So although they both agree regarding the halachas of milk coming out of a woman, there is a machlekes regarding the milk that comes out of an animal. And that is, Rabbi Akiva says, kal vachomer, if we find by the milk of a woman that has a small population that consumes her milk, specifically an infant, and still we find that the milk that comes out of her, even shelo l'ratzon, will be able to make a food item, hechsher, prepared, susceptible to tumah. So definitely milk from an animal, for example, a cow, where everybody drinks that type of a beverage, definitely it's going to have a status of a mashka of a beverage to make food items susceptible to tumah, even if it came out shelo l'ratzon. To which the Chacham had responded, and that's where our daf will begin today, that they said, wait a second, how can you make a kal vachomer from a woman to a cow, where we find a special chumer by a woman that you don't find by a cow, and maybe this halacha of being machmer by the milk of a woman, that it makes something susceptible to tumah, even shelo l'ratzon, is only by a woman, because we find regarding the blood of a wound from a woman, which is included in one of the seven beverages, is dam. That is, we find that it says in the pasuk, "Bedam chalal miyishta," that the blood of the slain will be drunk. So we see that there's a terminology of drinking, of mashka, that's applicable to blood. And that is, that applies to a chol, to someone that's slain, which the Gemara says elsewhere that malikot lekula, malikot lepalga, what does it make a difference if you slaughter the entire person or part of the person, which would include even the wound of a person, will also be considered one of the seven beverages to make a food item susceptible to tumah. That only applies to a woman, because a term halal only applies to a human being that's slain, not to an animal. And therefore, since we find the stringency of blood being considered as one of the seven mashkim to make something susceptible to tumah only by a human, in this regard to the woman, and not to the animal, so maybe only by women that we find stringencies, specifically regarding blood, as one of her liquids that come out of her, will also convey something to become tumah. So maybe only by her, which is more stringent, that even her milk that comes at shelo l'ratzon will also convey something to make it susceptible to tumah. If, let's say, her milk comes out and falls on an apple or whatever it is, it'll make it susceptible to tumah. Whereas you cannot say a kal vachomer to an animal that their milk will also convey tumah. It will also make something susceptible to tumah, even shelo l'ratzon, if it comes out of the udders of a cow, without with the specific intention to make it as a liquid to create into mashke to make a food item susceptible to tumah. And this discussion was brought in from the previous daf, because this, in the discussion as we end this Mishnah Machshirin, we'll see that the Gemara will use it as a springboard to ask on what we had assumed on the previous daf, that Rabbi Yehuda considered that even a food items, fruits that were just gathered together without any specific intention, still they would have a halacha of a mashka, that is, regarding the beverages that come out of them, even if it wasn't intended to have these fruits for squeezing purposes, to use them, the liquid, as a beverage, even if it was just stam, without any intention, it would still have the halacha of mashka, which the Gemara is going to ask in that from this Mishnah, that it would seem that if something is stam, that it would be considered shelo l'ratzon, not for the intention of having the liquids, and therefore it should not be usher regarding the mashkin shazavu, beverages, liquids that come out of a food item, that mashkin shazavu should not be considered a mashke if it was not specifically intended to be a mashke. And that's why this Mishnah was introduced, and we're in the middle of this Mishnah, which again, Rabbi Akiva is coming to respond to the Chacham that had asked on his kal vachomer that how could you compare milk to say that a cow should definitely be more stringent than the woman, and therefore the cow's milk should be considered tumah, it should be make something susceptible to tumah, even shelo l'ratzon, whereas the Chacham said that no, a woman is more stringent because it has its blood that only is considered a beverage to be make something susceptible to tumah, only by a woman, not by a cow. So Amar Lahen, this is where today's daf begins. The Rebbe Akiva responded to the Chacham, don't, so to speak, mix me up by quoting from blood to contradict my kal vachomer from milk, from the woman to the cow. And that is, machmar ni b'chalav, I am more stringent by milk, to say that you find that milk is such a stringent thing, that is to say that it'll even make something susceptible to tumah, even shelo l'ratzon, which is what I'm trying to tell you by the cow, that although blood, you tell me, won't apply to, by the cow, but I hold milk as such a more stringent element that it's going to be conveying tumah, even against the will, mibadam, than even the fact of blood. And that is, I'm going to prove to you that although you're right, blood is not going to be considered as a mashka to make something susceptible to tumah if it comes from an animal, yet we will still find when you do the same type of a thing, which by blood would not be, by milk it would be, and therefore I'm more stringent in my milk, and therefore I could make this kal v'chomer from the woman to the cow, because don't mix in blood. Blood is a more lenient factor, and therefore although blood is only by woman and not by cow, it doesn't make a difference if you have milk by woman, shalei l'ratzin, the kal v'chomer will apply to milk, shalei l'ratzin by cow, which has again a much larger population that consume the milk of the can of the cow, of the animal, as Reb Kiva proves. It says, because I'll show you shachayil of the refuah. If someone milks a cow, milks an animal for healing purposes, and that is if, let's say, the milk is weighing down, it's damaging to the animal, so if you don't want it to hurt it, you milk the cow, again, not for the intention of having that liquid, of creating it into a mashka of a beverage, it's not for anyone to drink, it's just to get it out of the animal, still tummy, because since it's considered that you want it out, it will be considered a beverage. Again, he's trying to prove that milk is considered a very stringent element, and that even in this type of case it will be considered a mashke. Whereas if a mak is l'refuah tar, but if someone draws the blood of an animal, it will be tar, as we said before, because this is what's called the dam magifasa. It's the blood of the wound of an animal, and therefore doesn't make a difference what your intention for the blood of an animal will never commit tumah. However, what I am showing you is that since if you're milking the cow, again, just for the intention of healing it, still will convey tumah, which sounds like that it's shalei l'ratz. In other words, I don't want it for beverage status, for liquid status. I just want it not to harm the animal, yet it still will make something susceptible to tumah. So the same thing should apply when it drips out on its own, which is called shalei l'ratz, and it just goes on its own, it also should convey tumah. And therefore, though you're right that it doesn't have the variable of blood, but again, that's not applicable. It doesn't make a difference because, as we're showing you, just like you find b'hachayil l'refuah, when you're milking the cow just for healing purposes, regarding the beverage status of that milk, that's shalei l'ratz, and I don't want the milk, I just don't want it harming the animal, and still it's going to convey a status of susceptibility to tumah if it touches a food item. So therefore the same thing should apply to what I'm telling you, that anytime you have milk that comes out of the udders of a cow, it should convey tumah, even if shalei l'ratz, even if I didn't even want it, it came out on its own, it should be conveying tumah, as I showed you from hachaylev l'refuah, that although you don't want the milk itself as a beverage, you just don't want it to harm the animal still will convey a status of susceptibility to tumah if it touches a solid item. Amru loy, to that the chacham responded to Rebbe Kiva, you cannot compare shalei l'ratzin, that is when it just comes out on its own, to when you want it to come out. And that is in spite of the fact that you're correct in what you're saying by regarding if someone's milking it for healing purposes, but there you want it to come out. And therefore you cannot make this leap in saying that something would apply even if it just comes out on its own. As they prove, because sali zeisim anav michicha, because baskets of olives and grapes will prove this idea that we're trying to tell you, that there's a difference to when you want it to come out and when you don't want it to come out. So though, there is an element of a chaylev l'refuah, that there you don't really want it, but you do want it to come out, you're actively doing it, where there it will convey tumah, it will make something susceptible to tumah, but when it just comes out on its own, and you didn't care for it, it will not make something susceptible to tumah. And therefore don't say this kal v'chomer, that if a woman has it, shalei l'ratz, and it comes out on its own, that it conveys tumah, same thing would apply to a cow, it's not true. Because again, there is a big difference between l'ratzin and ein l'ratzin. And how do we see this by the olives and the grapes? Shamashkin hayoytzin mehen, because regarding the liquids that come out of the olives and the grapes. So l'ratzin tamein, if it comes out with your willingness, that is, you wanted it to come out, then it will convey tumah. It has a status of a beverage on it, and therefore, again, if it touches a liquid item, it will make it susceptible to tumah. Shaloy l'ratzin tarim, but if it comes out against your will, then it's going to be tar. This is the end of the discussion of the Mishnah in Machshirin, which was the Rabbanan responded to Rebbe Kiva, again, that although you're trying to make a valid point that Chaylev L'Refuah is not really L'Ratzin, however, you cannot take it the next step, the Chum said to him, because there's still a big difference between L'Ratzin and Shalei L'Ratzin, and therefore, if we find that although if someone does something, L'Ratzin, that he wants it to come out, there it will have the status of a liquid, and therefore that in a sense is really what a Chayav L'Refuah is, but you can take it to the next level to say the same thing would apply when it comes out on its own, that Shalei L'Ratzin, that I didn't willingly want it to come out, it came out on its own, and therefore it will not have the status of a beverage, and therefore our our point still stands that only by a woman where the milk comes out on itself, shalei l'ratz, and there will have the status of tumah, because we're saying we find certain chumras by a woman, for example, her blood will also have the status of a liquid to make something susceptible to tumah. Whereas the milk of a cow, for example, or any animal, there if it comes at shalei l'ratz, it will not convey the status of something susceptible to tumah, as we proved to you by the owls and the grapes. That there's a difference between it comes out when you want it to come out, then it has the status of a beverage, whereas when you didn't want it to come out, then it will not make something susceptible to tumah because it does not have the status of a beverage. Now this is where the Gemara brings back the point that it brought in this Mishnah Machshirin in the first place from the previous daf, where it had discussed regarding Rabbi Yehuda, if something comes out on its own, where you didn't have any intention, again, the Gemara there was discussing regarding when you have a pile of fruits. Now the Gemara differentiated if you had the pile of fruits that you wanted to squeeze these fruits. They were there designated for mashka. You wanted to squeeze it out to have, let's say, grape juice or olive oil. There it's going to have the status of a beverage. Whereas when it was there just for eating purposes, you didn't want to make watermelon juice. You just wanted the watermelon. There the liquid will not have the status of a beverage. However, what is the halacha if you didn't intend either way? You didn't gather them together specifically that you wanted to squeeze them to drink them or to eat them, which would be the counter of drinking. It just was just put to stam without any intention whatsoever. So the Gemara had assumed that Yehuda would consider that as l'ratzin, as when you wanted it for the liquids, and therefore the liquid that comes out would have a status of mashka, and therefore we would disallow one to consume that on Shabbos because we're concerned one might come then to squeeze out the rest to have the beverages. However, on this is what the Gemara comes now based on this Mishnah Machshirin that says as follows. My lav l'ratzin, isn't it what we just, how we ended off the Chacham's explanation to the Reb Kiva? To say that, wait a second, don't compare ratzin to shalei l'ratzin. That again, ratzin is when it's going to have a status of mashka, but shalei l'ratzin will not. What does it mean when it says l'ratzin that it was willingly? Tenichale means that you wanted it. Then if you wanted the liquid, then it will have the status of a mashka, of a liquid. And then again, make something susceptible to tumah. And when it says shalei l'ratzin, when it says that it was not willingly, was b'stama, that was when it was without any specific intention whatsoever. And therefore, we say that it's going to be considered tar, which is the equivalent of saying that it's not considered a mashka. Now this is where the Gemara develops this question. If this statement is going like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, then that's definitely a question. That's a contradiction to the point we had mentioned before. Rabbi Yehuda would hold that stama is considered l'ratzin, that you want the liquid, and yet here we're saying explicitly that shalei l'ratzin is going to be considered, stama is going to be considered shalei l'ratzin, that is if you did not want it and it's not considered a beverage, and therefore will not convey tumah, so therefore the equivalent should apply to the halachas of Shabbos. And if it's the opinion of Rabbanan, then definitely according to Rabbi Yehuda would be tar, because if something that according, as we said regarding the machlikas Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda on the previous daf, that according to what Rabbanan considered mashka, still Rabbi Yehuda argues and says it's not considered a mashka, so something that according to Rabbanan is not a mashka, definitely according to Rabbi Yehuda is also not going to be considered a mashka. And therefore the question of the Gemara is as follows, if we find regarding olives and grapes, which is what they're talking about, this opinion of the Chacham, again, whether it's Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan, which would be definitely the same thing by according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that they say that the B'nai Schitin, in which regarding olives and grapes, those are types of items which are generally squeezed for their fruits, for their juices. And still we say, Shalei l'ratzin v'lo klum, that if it was unwillingly, that is what we're interpreting to mean to say that it was done stam, without any intention whatsoever. It has no status whatsoever of a beverage, and therefore will not make something susceptible to tumah. So tutim b'rimayim. So regarding pomegranates and mulberries, the lav b'nei schitinin, which are not squeezed generally, as olives and grapes are to make grape juice and olive oil, these things are not generally squeezed. And l'koshkin, so shouldn't it be a koshkin that it should not have a status of a mashka of a beverage, which would be not like we said, because we said regarding the halachas of Shabbos, which is again, we were defining the status of something having the status of a liquid or not, we said, and that's what we assumed on the previous daf, that according to Yehuda, even if it's stam, even if it was put there without any intention whatsoever, it would have the status of a liquid, even by tutim b'rimayim. Now, we're proving definitely not, because we're saying even regarding something that has an easier status of becoming a liquid, which would be zeisim v'anavim, which has a higher standard, most people will squeeze olives and grapes to make the juice out of them. And yet still we're finding that only l'ratzin, if you intently want the juice to come out, then we will say that it has the status of mashka. But if you didn't do it without any intention whatsoever, stam, then it will not have the status of a liquid. And that's why it's not making things susceptible to tumah. So then the v'hak we say regarding the halachas of Shabbos, that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the liquid that came out by its own, without, and you didn't have it gathered for any intention whatsoever, just stam, that it's going to be considered a mashke, and therefore it's going to be us to have enough from it on Shabbos, when even by Zesim Anavim, which is a higher standard by Tudim Beramayim, which we're discussing on the previous daf, between the Machlokes of Yehudim and the Chachamim. And still yet, if you do it stam, it's not a beverage, and yet here, how could he say by Tudim Beramayim, which is a lower standard, and stam, that it will be considered a mashke, that it will be considered a beverage? And that the Gemara says, loy l'ratzen. No, the way you have to interpret the statement of l'ratzen, the shel l'ratzen, is as follows. When it says l'ratzen, that he willingly wanted the juice that was coming out of the olives and the grapes, which is this statement that we were saying from the Chacham in this Mishnah Machshirin, that was bestama. That was when you do it without any intention whatsoever. That even that will be considered a mashka, that will be considered a beverage. And again, that fits very well with what we were saying on the previous daf, that not only Zesim Anovim, which is what the statement of this Mishnah Machshirin, of the Chacham responding to Rabbi Kiva, which we're saying, which would be Rabbi Yehuda, or even the Chacham, but definitely Rabbi Yehuda, that it's, even if you do it stam, that's considered l'ratzen, that you want it. And if it's considered mashka, as we said, and we had assumed on the previous daf, that that's how Rabbi Yehuda would hold, even by tutim v'rimonim, even by mulberries and pomegranates, that if you do it stam, you didn't put the fruits with the intention of having the liquids come out of it. But that liquid will be considered a status of mashka. That's the equivalent of saying l'ratzen. When we said shaloi l'ratzen, that you did not want it, it's not like we had assumed on today's daf that it meant that you did it stam, and therefore we had the question. Rather, shaloi l'ratzen means the goliah daite, where you revealed explicitly that your intention was that you did not want it. The amma loy nichli, where you said, I don't want it, and therefore that's even more of a revelation of your intention than when you gather it together for food purposes, that you were just for to consume it in the solid form, not in the liquid form. So therefore, if Rabbi Yehuda holds that regarding when you're putting the fruits together just to eat it, that it's not going to be considered a mashka, that's what we mean here definitely when we say shalei l'ratzen, that means to say that you did not want it, you said I don't want it for the liquid, I don't want it, I just want to eat it, whatever I want to use it for, that's when we say that the liquid will not have a status of a mashka. However, when we say l'ratzen, that will include the case of stam, when you do it without any intention whatsoever. That's exactly like we had said in the previous daf, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the fruit, the juice of the tutim v'rimonim, of the mulberries and the pomegranates, will have a status of a mashka, even when it's done stama. That's not included in shalei l'ratzen, that will be included in l'ratzen, and therefore that's again included in the halacha of mashka and shazavu, that it will have the status of a mashka, and therefore we cannot have enough of it on Shabbos, because then you might come to squeeze out the tutim v'rimonim on Shabbos. And the same thing applies to halachas of tumah, that again, even by zesim anavim, it's only if you at least actively wanted it, or even stama. But when we said shalei l'ratzen, it did not mean stama, it meant that you said, I don't want this liquid, then we're not going to be considered a mashka, and therefore cannot make a food item susceptible to tum. That's one approach in the Gemara. V'bay seima, or else another approach to the Gemara says, that in truth, that stam is like a mashka, as we had assumed on the previous daf. But yet we had the difficulty of this Mishnah in Machshirin, that the Chacham had responded that even Zesim Anovim is only L'ratzen, but Shalei L'ratzen, which again we had been assuming on this daf, that Shalei L'ratzen meant even Stam, which you didn't have an active intent to want the liquid. That's Shalei L'ratzen, that it's not going to be considered a mashke. And that the Gemara says, Shani Sali Zesim Anovim. That case of this Mishnah Machshirin is different when it's talking about the baskets of olives and grapes. And the reason is, Kivin Dele Ibit Kaimi, because since it's ultimately going to waste. And that is why we specifically took the case of Sali Zesim Anovim, the baskets of olives and grapes, where there the liquid just drips right through the holes in the basket, therefore it's falling to the ground, it's going to waste. That's why in the case of baskets of olives and grapes, there you're right, there's stam, which we're including in the terminology of Shalei L'ratzen, is something that you don't want, because unless you specifically intended to want the liquid, You don't want it because it's going to waste, as the Gemara says, Mi'ikura afker mafkalaho. Originally, when you're doing it, you're just mafkrid, you totally consider it ownerless, because it's going, and that's regarding the liquid that comes out of it, because it's going to waste. However, regarding other vessels, which is, let's say, the case of the brisa that we were discussing, then even tutim v'rimonim, even mulberries and pomegranates, which is not even such a high level as zesim anavim, I would tell you that stam, when it's without any specific intention, it would be considered mashka, as we had explained on the previous stuff, and that it's only here in this Mishnah, where it's talking about the baskets of olives and grapes, where there it's going to drip out. So unless I had a specific intention to want it, I'm going to say that I did not want it, because it's going to waste, and I'm mafgrid, I consider ownerless. That's why over here, stam would be considered shalei l'ratzen, that I don't want it. But again, generally, stam would be considered yes l'ratzen, and therefore, regarding mashkin shazav on Shabbos, it would have the status of a mashkin. So now the Gemara continues and says, regarding the statement of Shmuel, that Shmuel had said in his explanation of the machlekes between Rabbanan and Rabbi Huda regarding what type of fruits are considered mashkin shazavu, that there would be aser, so he had two different statements. And as Gemara says, so Ashkechan, so we find the first half of his statement, that Rabbi Huda demaydil Rabbanan mezezim anabim. Although we had this machlekes between Rabbi Huda and the Chacham regarding mashkin shazavu, regarding the liquids that come out on Shabbos, if they're going to be aser, and we're concerned that the person might come to squeeze out the fruits, that although Rabbi Huda says that we're not concerned, and the Chacham said that we are concerned, Rabbi Huda agrees to the Chacham in the case of olives and grapes, where the majority of people take the olives and grapes and they use it to squeeze out to make olive oil and grape juice. There he agrees that we're concerned that you, if we would allow you to have the liquids that came out on their own, you didn't do any schita on Shabbos, but then you might change your mind and say, wait, I might actually want this olives and the grapes to make olive oil and grape juice out of it, because this was good grape juice, this is good olive oil that came on its own. So therefore he would agree in that case that it's going to be asur. However, regarding the other half of the statement of Shmuel, Rabbanu demoydil Rabbi Huda b'shah peris manon, but regarding the fact that Rabbanu agreed to Rabbi Huda regarding all other fruits, that there they agreed to Rabbi Huda that the liquids that come out should not be a reason to say that it's aser, because then you might come to squeeze it out, because people don't generally squeeze out the other fruits. And as we had explained, that their machlikas was only regarding tutim v'remainim, mulberry and pomegranates, where there are some people, yes, some people don't squeeze it. Therefore, there is where their machlikas was. But again, regarding olives and grapes, there everyone agrees that it is a problem, because people generally do like to squeeze it out. Other fruits, Shaperi Shmuel had said that even the Rabbanan agree that it's not going to be a problem, because even if we're going to let you drink it, you're not going to start making watermelon juice or whatever it is, because people generally don't squeeze it out to have that melon juice. So even there they agree. Where do you find this concept of the Rabbanan agreeing to Rabbi Huda, as we had just said, regarding that we find Rabbi Huda agrees to Rabbanan in the case of Zeisim HaNovim? Now that the Gemara says, Minolan, where do we know it? The Tanya has learned the Braisa. Seichtin, one can squeeze out. We continue on to Amud Beis, Bepgoyin plums, and that is you're squeezing it out to get the juice out of it, over frishin and with quinces, over zrodin and with sorb apples. Now, the reason why all these things you're allowed to squeeze out on Shabbos is because it's not normally done. People don't usually squeeze out plums to get the plum juice, and therefore we don't consider it a mashkettle. It's not even considered a beverage, and therefore it's not the malach of dash, of threshing. The malach of dash is when you thresh, for example, when you have the kernel, and you have the grain and you're taking it out of the husk that's around it, so you're threshing it, so that is detaching it from we're talking about the item that you is one thing from a totally different item. Therefore, the toilada of that, a derivative of that, is what's called schita, is when you have a solid and then you squeeze out a liquid, so you're detaching a separate item from that. Therefore, that's a malach abdash. But here, it's not even considered a mashke at all. And therefore, you're not really detaching a liquid from a solid. It doesn't have a status of a beverage to be considered the malacha of dash, and therefore you're allowed to squeeze it out on Shabbos, because it still has the status of a food item, so to speak. It doesn't become a beverage because this is not something that's usually drunk. But not by pomegranates. That you cannot squeeze out, because that is the derech. People do make pomegranate juice, and therefore that is considered the malacha of dash in the form of schita, because you're squeezing out a liquid from a solid, just like you take the grain from the husk. And to prove that, the Gemara says, "V'shal beis Menashe bar Menachem ho yisechtim b'remayim," as we find by the household of Menashe, the son of Menachem, that there they would squeeze the pomegranates, and that is, since they used to do that during the weekday. And therefore, you see that since there are some people that squeeze it and they want pomegranate juice, so therefore on Shabbos there would be aser. And therefore, the Gemara is showing us that obviously that it's mutter by other fruits, even to squeeze it out by hand. So definitely, this is where the Rabbanan would agree to the opinion of Rabbi Huda, that if we find by these other fruits, by pegoyin, prishin, uzradin, these plums, these quinces, and the sorb apples, that we say you could even squeeze it out by hand, definitely you could at least, when it comes out on its own, that's not going to be a problem, because people, again, don't generally squeeze these fruits to get the juice out of them. But on that, the Gemara asks, "Umimai d'rabbanhi? How do you know that this Tanoic statement goes like d'rabbanan to say that, oh, you see that not only do they say the other fruit, shah peris, you can enjoy the liquids that squeeze out, that come out by itself on their own, because it's not concerned you're going to squeeze it out. You could even actually squeeze it out biyad. So therefore, we find that they agree by shah peris, they only argue on the other fruits. But dim Rabbi Huda, maybe this is like the opinion of Rabbi Huda, and that's why it's going to be mutter. But the Chum would say that it's asa." And then the Gemara says, the Tahavinam Rabbi Huda. So what? You still left the question. Because let's say this would be like Rabbi Huda. But Amen de Shamal Rabbi Yehuda Yatzim Asman. When does Rabbi Yehuda say his halacha, that Rishar Peres, that the juice that comes out of it is mutter on Shabbos? We're not concerned you're going to squeeze it. That's when it comes out on its own. You didn't actually actively squeeze it. Did we ever hear from Yehuda that you could actually go ahead and squeeze Shah Paris? He never said you could do Schit on Shabbos. He just wasn't concerned if it comes out on its own, that if you're going to have another, you might come to squeeze it out because people don't generally squeeze out Shah Paris. So even according to Yehuda, how are you going to resolve this Tanoic statement? It doesn't make sense. Where do we find anyway that you could actively go ahead and do Schita on Shabbos? So rather, what would you have to say according to Yehuda to understand this opinion? That kivin olav b'nei schitin, and since these fruits are not fruits that are applicable to the concept of schita, of squeezing, of doing the tolad of dash, because as we said before, because they're not considered a mashka, you're not separating a mashka as liquid from a maichel, from a solid, rather it's all considered one maichel, because people don't generally drink this as a beverage. Safil ketchila, that's why this Tanoic statement is saying that even a ketchila, initially you can go ahead and squeeze it, you don't even have to wait till actually the juice comes out to actually enjoy it. So then the question is, from that same reason now, you should say, Afilatim Rabbanon. So maybe you could say that even this Tanakh statement is like Rabbanon. And they say that it's mutter for the same reason. And that is, Kivin de lav b'nei schitin. And since these things are not eligible to be included in the Isra of schita, they're not things that are squeezable in the sense of squeezing it out to get the beverage out, because people do not drink it to consider it a beverage. Afilat Tchila, that even Rabbanon would agree that even like Tchila, it's mutter. Shema Menor Rabbanon. So obviously you could say that this Tanoic statement, there's no reason to say it's Rabbi Huda more than Rabbanon, because they both would agree on this. And this concept that it's not b'nei schita, that you see that even Rabbanon agree, Shema Mina, that Rabbanon would agree by Shah Peiros, that there we do not consider the liquid as a beverage. And therefore, again, although we find a bigger chiddush by plums and quinces and sorb apples, where you could actually do ahead with your hands, but we see that Rabban agreed to the concept that different fruits will have different statuses of beverages. And that is that certain ones you can even do it with your hand and squeeze it. That's not a beverage, so therefore we find that they could agree to the concept that regarding Shah pears, that it's somewhere in between. It's not as extreme as sorb apples and quinces and plums. However, it's not as extreme the other end as the olives and the grapes, or even as the mulberries and the pomegranates, that here, where it comes out on its own, again, it's not really that much of a beverage, although those types of Shah pears, not of the sorb apples, you can't actually go ahead and squeeze, but they would agree to the concept of that if it comes out on its own, they would let you drink from it, as Rabbi Yehuda says, by the Tutim Reminim, because we're not concerned that you're going to come ahead and go ahead and squeeze it out, because people don't generally drink it. It's not that much as of a mashka to be concerned to call it an exer of mashkan shazav, but you might actually come to do it biyad. So once we introduced the braisa that was brought in to prove this point of Shmuel, that the Rabban agreed to be Huda by Shah Peres, so we go ahead and discuss one item that says over there in the braisa. We said, Shal Beis Menashe Bar Menachem, that regarding that we use this as a proof, the Tana said that we find by the household of Menashe Bar Menachem, who yisrich them remind him that they would squeeze the pomegranates. And therefore, since we find that people actually do use the pomegranates for their juice, so therefore, again, there you're not allowed to go ahead and actively squeeze it, because that would be applicable to the malacha of schita, to the telada of dash. And that the Gemara says, Amr Rav Nachman, halacha kishal beis menashe bar menachem. Rav Nachman, la halacha, came to say that halacha follows the household of menashe bar menachem, that they consider the pomegranates as something to make beverage out of it, because they would squeeze it during the weekday. And halacha follows them, that they consider it a mashke, and therefore on Shabbos, you now let it go ahead and squeeze the remainder of the pomegranates, because again, that would be the malacha of schita, of taking a beverage, a liquid out of a salad. On that, the way Rav Nachman phrased his halacha l'maitza, the Gemara asks as follows: I'm like Rav Nachman. I don't understand what you're saying. Menashe ben Menachem tanahu? Is Menashe ben Menachem a tana, as the colloquial phrase is? Is he a man da'amar? In other words, what are you saying? Did he argue and to say that on Shabbos it's usher to squeeze pomegranates to say the halacha follows like him? He was only mentioned by the Tana as a proof to show that. I'm saying this Tana, whoever he is saying, look, it's us to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos, because I'll show you by Menashe Bar Menachem, his household, they do it during the weekday to make beverage, so you see that people do drink it as a beverage. However, Menashe Bar Menachem never said anything regarding halachas of Shabbos. They were just using him as to show that people actually use it as a beverage. So what do you mean the halachas like him? Is he a Tana? He's not even saying an opinion regarding if it's usher or mutter to squeeze it on Shabbos. And moreover, v'chitem, and if you're going to say that, what did I mean, Rav Nachman, when I said that halacha is like the household of Menashe, I meant halacha ki'ay tana. The halacha is like that Tana that says it's forbidden to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos actively with your hands. the Sabulo Kishol Menashe Beis Menachem, who that Tana had held like Menashe Ben Menachem, and that is since Menashe was like this Tana, that he used to squeeze his pomegranates during the weekday to make a pomegranate juice out of it. So obviously, the pomegranates are B'nai Schita, they're applicable to the concept of Schita, of squeezing it out, and that's why it's usher to do on Shabbos, but it's still difficult the way Rav Nachman is stating his Halacha L'maisa. Because Mishum de Savik Menashe Ben Menachem, and that is since he holds like Menashe Ben Menachem Halacha K'maisai, since this Tana is saying his halacha based on what the household of Menashe Ben Menachem did, that they squeezed it out, that's why the halacha follows like him, that's why you're passing like him, to say that that's why Halacha L'maisai of Nachman, you're saying that it's going to be usher to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos, I don't understand. Menashe Ben Menachem Havirubi De Alma, is the household of Menashe, the son of Menachem, the majority of the world? I mean, because this family goes ahead and does something that they squeeze the pomegranates to make pomegranate juice, so now the whole world has to be considering this as a juice? What do you mean? How can you prove from one family, because they take some random fruit, in this case pomegranates, and they make pomegranate juice out of it, that for the whole world this should be considered a malach of schita? And would you say the same thing if they took plums or quinces or sorb apples, where there we say that it's according to everybody it's mutter to squeeze on Shabbos because it's not a beverage? Here, because one family actually takes the pomegranates, so that's why for the whole world it's considered a beverage? Another Gemara says, in yes, that's what Rav Nachman was saying. That none as we learned in the Mishnah in Kalayim. We learned Hamakayim Kaitzim Bekarim. If someone maintains thorns in his vineyard, so Rabbi Lezer says that all the crops are going to be usher because of the halacha of Kalayim, because it's considered a zriya. Whatever is, you can't have in the vineyard some other type of vegetation that's planted there. Now, since this person wants his thorns there, they're considered a zriya, something that was planted, and therefore it's going to be Kalayim with the grapes, with the vineyard. The Chacham says no. It's not, the thorns are not going to make the grapes a halach of klayim by mixing a different type of planted thing in the vineyard, because the only thing that can make it klayim is something that is generally a type of a thing that people want to maintain, because it's something that people generally use as a zriya, as something that's being planted, for example, as wheat or barley. And therefore the Gemara actually says, V'am Reb Chanina, my time in Reb Elazar. Which the Gemara tries to explain, what is the understanding of the opinion of Reb Elazar? Why would you say that it would be considered klayim because of thorns? Thorns should not be something that's considered a bar zriya, something that's generally planted. So that Reb Chanina had said, shekim ba'aravya mekayim en koytzi sadis legmalem. That the reason is that since in Arabia, the people there would maintain the thorns in their fields for their camels, that the camels should be able to eat it, and therefore, Reb Elazar holds that now thorns are considered a bar zriya. And so what do you see the concept? You see that since one place in Arabia, they considered a chashiv, they considered something that's significant enough to maintain in one's field because they want their camels to eat the thorns, so therefore they consider a dava chashiv. In general, Reb Elazar considers it, to make it climb wherever it shouldn't be. So therefore, we find the same concept that Reb Nachman is trying to say. Since one family actually wants the pomegranates for their Jews, we consider it for the whole world as something that's negeya, that's applicable to schita, to be squeezing it for its juice from the salad, just like we find by Arabia, where just in one place they want the thorns, they maintain it. So therefore, anywhere in the world now, when you have thorns in a vineyard, according to Reb Elazar, it's going to be considered kaidish. In other words, it's going to have the halacha, the isra of klayim. To which the Gemara asks, wait a second. Midi'iri, can you really compare the two cases to say that if you find one place, it'll apply to the whole world? The Aravya Asra, Arabia is a place, it's a location, it has a chashivas, a significance of the public. So therefore, we find a whole location, a whole city, town, country, whatever it is, that they use it, and therefore we'll consider it something chashiv, so that it will apply to the whole world. But hacha over here, we're talking about one person, one family. Here we should say, but ladaita, it's kaladam, that this one family, this one person, that his intention, what he's considering significant, should be nullified in contrast to the rest of the world. Again, how could you compare the cases? Because of one family, we should consider it for the whole world, something that this is a pomegranate, is something that's used for its beverage? At least by Arabia, was a whole town, a whole country, whatever it is, which you don't have over here. So therefore, the Gemara says that, true, that what Rav Nachman was trying to say, his halacha, was based on something else. Elahayna time, or rather, the reason of Rav Nachman that he said the halacha is that you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos was Rav Chisda, as the statement of Rav Chisda. Dam Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda said, Trodin shesachtan, regarding beets that were squeezed, so you have beet juice, v'nasin b'mikvah, and then it was placed into a mikvah, poisonous a mikvah b'shinimara, so that disqualifies the mikvah with the change of color. that it has to have a certain color, has to have the white color. Now that the beet had gave a nice reddish hue to the mikveh is going to be possible. Now, the question is, v'halav b'nei schitin inu. Now, beets are not things that are generally squeezed out. People don't make beet juice to drink. And therefore, since it's not considered a beverage that people drink as just the juice, so therefore, it shouldn't be considered a mashka. It shouldn't be considered a beverage because, again, it's not b'nei schit, it's not considered a thing that people squeeze out to drink. And therefore, it should not be viable to disqualify the mikveh because only another beverage that's a disqualified beverage can go ahead and disqualify the mikveh. Yet here, we're saying that the beet juice will disqualify even though it's not a mashka. So what do you have to say in explanation of this halacha? Since this person intended, he wanted this beet juice. For whatever reason, he went ahead and squeezed it. So since he gave it a chashivas, he gave it a significance by squeezing it out, it becomes a mashka, has the status of a beverage now to disqualify the mikveh. So hachanami here also regarding to say what would be forbidden to squeeze on Shabbos, kivinach shavino havlo mashka. Since these people, this family, Menashe bar Menachem, they consider it significant because they squeezed it out to drink the juice, so they gave it the status of a mashka. And the explanation is as follows. That although you're right, that for the rest of the world, it's not considered chashav. The rest of the world, let's say, does not squeeze out pomegranates to have the Jews to drink pomegranate juice. But since this family does consider it significant, so for them, not for the whole world, what Rav Nachman was saying, for them, it will have the status of a mashka, and therefore for them, it will be also to squeeze on Shabbos. And what Rav Nachman was saying, he was explaining the braisa as follows. He said that one is allowed to squeeze, we said the sorb apples and the quinces and the plums, to sweeten the fruit, but not for the purpose of getting the beverage, the mashka out of it, because you can't squeeze out anything for the mashka purposes. Even my plums and the sorb apples and the quinces, if you're squeezing it because you want the juice, so you're considering it significant, you want it, so then you give it the status, as we find by the beets that will disqualify the mikveh, that if you want the juice of the beets, in spite of the fact that no one does, it will have a status of a beverage, of a mashka, and it could disqualify a mikveh. So you're also, you can go ahead and squeeze out the plums on Shabbos if you want the juice. However, if you're doing it to just sweeten the fruit, again, either you're squeezing it because you want to make it softer and to make it sweeter, then you're allowed to do it by those fruits. However, when we said that by pomegranates, you're not allowed to do it, you can't even do it to sweeten the fruit. You're not even squeezing it to get the juice out of it. And what is the reason? Why can't you go ahead and squeeze the pomegranates to sweeten it just like you could do it by plums and quinces and sorb apples? And that is what the Braisa was saying, that since the household of Beis Menashe would squeeze it during the weekday for the intention of getting the beverage out of it to drink the juice, so therefore on Shabbos it would be forbidden even not for the juice, even just to sweeten the pomegranates. And the reason is that since there is someone in the world, which in this case was the household of Beis Menashe, that they do it for the intention of the liquid for the beverage, so then therefore, although you're right that the household of Menashe is not the majority of the world, but we are concerned that if we permitted you to sweeten the pomegranate, to squeeze it just for to sweeten it, then you would come to go ahead and squeeze it for the beverage purposes, because since we find that there are people that consider it significant, then we might find other people that might want to squeeze it for their juices. And therefore, since this person will consider it significant by squeezing it, so then that itself gives it a status of mashka, and you'd be chayiv. However, by the pagoyin and the prishin and the zradin, by the plums and the quinces and the sorb apples, they were not concerned, although there also would be the chiv d'iraisa if you would go ahead and squeeze it for the beverage purposes, but we did not disallow you to go ahead and squeeze it to sweeten it on Shabbos, because they were not concerned because nobody in the world squeezes out the plums or the sorb apples or the quinces for their juices, and therefore we did not make the gzeira of disallowing you from going ahead and squeezing it even to sweeten it. So that is the understanding of the halacha of Rav Nachman, again, based on this halacha of Rav Chisda, that we find this idea that if one is going to squeeze out a fruit, and he's the only one in the world that actually wants this beets for the juice, but however, if he goes ahead and does it with intention, he gives it the status of a beverage, and that's why it could disqualify a mikveh. And therefore, that would apply even to plums, to all those cases which we said you're allowed to, because our braisa is not discussing the status of squeezing it out to drink it, because that's usur midaraisa in all cases. Here, what we're talking about is when you're squeezing it out just to soften it. If you're squeezing out to soften it, then you're allowed to do it by cases which we're not concerned that you might come to squeeze it out to drink it, because nobody does. We don't find anyone that squeezes it out to drink it. But by pomegranates, you can't even squeeze it to soften it, That is because what we were proving from Bnei Menashe, again, you can't prove from one person to the whole world. It doesn't give it the status of beverage. But the only thing we were proving from there is that we find people do want the beverage. And therefore, we're concerned that if we allow you to squeeze the pomegranate to sweeten it, which should not be a problem, then since we find people that do want the beverage, you might come to squeeze it out for the beverage. Then when you're squeezing out to drink it, that itself gives it the status already of a mashka because you were machshev it by wanting to drink it. That would be the iser of shchita. And therefore, in that case, we're concerned even to not allow you even to squeeze it to soften it. That is the understanding of the opinion of Rav Nachman. However, Rav Papa says he argues on Rav Nachman in the understanding of the explanation of the halacha that Rav Chizkiya just said. And that Rav Papa says the reason of the beets is not because of a chashivas that you gave with your intention that you wanted it to squeeze it out and therefore it has the status of a beverage. It's not true. Not like Rav Nachman had explained that halacha Rav Chizkiya. Rather, the status of the beets, the juice that came out of it, does not have the status of a mashka of a beverage. But then you have the question, so then why does it disqualify the mikvah? It has to be a mashka. And Rav Papa said, the reason why it disqualifies the mikvah is not because it's an invalid beverage, which can then counter the qualified water that was there and therefore disqualify it that way. The reason is because it's an item that you cannot initially make a mikvah with. You can't make a mikvah with beet juice. And the halacha is that any item that cannot be used initially to make a mikvah out of it, for example, it's not water, it's not snow, it's not ice, then the halacha is that item will then go ahead and disqualify the mikvah with a discolorish, a different type of a color than what the water is supposed to be like. And therefore, again, Rav Papa is saying, Rav Nachman has no proof that halacha is trying to say that this, regarding what he finds from this brisa, that the halacha is like Beis Menashe, that you can't squeeze the pomegranates on Shabbos, even just to sweeten the fruit, based on this halacha of Rav Chizkiya, because the halacha of Rav Chizkiya is not saying the same point you're trying to derive Rav Nachman. Because it's not saying that when you squeeze something, it gives it the status of a beverage. Not true. When it says that the beet juice that comes out will disqualify a mikvah, it's not because you decided you want this juice and therefore has halacha of mashka. Rather, it's because it's something you can't use to make the mikvah initially. Anything that cannot be used to make a mikvah initially, even if it's not a mashka, even if it does not have the status of a beverage, will go ahead and disqualify a mikvah when it gives a different color into the mikvah. So now the Gemara continues on with a similar machlokes, the way we just had between this machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Papa, and this discussion of the halacha of Rav Chizkiya, we find a similar machlokes. So now we learned over there in the Mishnah Mikvahs. Nofel toicha, if it falls into a mikvah, yayin, wine, or chaymetz, or vinegar, or meichel is a type of a liquid that oozes out from the juice of an olive, v'shina marv, and then it changes the color of the mikvah. So halacha is possible, the mikvah is possible. On that, the Gemara had asked, man tana de meichel mashka, who is the tana of this Mishnah Mikvahs that says that meichel, this juice that oozes out of an olive, has the status of a beverage, again, which the Gemara is assuming right now, that a mikvah will not become pasul only if it has the status of a mashka of a beverage, and even if it's going to change the color of the mikvah, it only will pasul it, invalidate it, only if it has the status of a mashka. And now it's important to keep in mind for the Gemara that there's three types of meichel, there's three types of juices that ooze out of an olive in three different stages of the process of the olive. And that is, the first process is they would go ahead and put all the olives and squeeze them together in a vat, which would heat it up and it would be cooking it in some way by itself. Then if the juice that comes out of that juice is clear like water. That's the first stage of the juice of the meichel that comes out of an olive. Then after that, it was there for many days and you have the olives pushing each other. So then again, this meichel oozes out of the olives. That's very close to be considered like almost like olive oil, like oil. Then after that, it was pressed to squeeze out the oil in the Beis Habad, in the olive press house. Then they would keep the whole pile of what's called gefes, which is the refuse of the olives that were squeezed out already. So they keep it in these akolim, in these nets, which are gathered in the Beis Habad. Then that's the third phase of when again this meichel goes ahead and oozes out of it again. So however, what the Gemara's question is, who is this tana of the Mishnah Mikvahs that says that if one of these items of yayin, chaymetz, or meichel comes out, that it will disqualify the mikvah again, because the Gemara is assuming, which Abai will assume also in his teretz, that the meichel is considered a mashka, and therefore because it's a mashka, now it could disqualify a mikvah with a different color that it's giving to the mikvah. And that Omar Abai says, Rabbi Yaakov, the tana like we learned the braisa. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, meichel areyu kamashka. Meichel, this liquid that oozes out of an olive, has the status of a beverage. And then, however, the question is, as we just explained, there's three phases to the meichels that come out. So the question Rabbi Yaakov has to deal with is, if I'm saying that moichel has the status of a mashke, so matam omer, then why did they say that moichel ha-yotze b'tchila, regarding the moichel that comes out in the beginning, that's which we said is the first phase, when you first go ahead and squeeze them all together in the vat, so that initial moichel that oozes out, that we say that it's tar, why would it be tar if I'm saying that it has the status of a beverage that it should make something susceptible to tumah? That halacha is lefishein the rates of bikurim, because since you don't want that, that is like it's very liquidy, like watery, so you don't really want that. Since you don't want it, so therefore it never has the status of a beverage. That's where that first phase is different. But generally, moichel will have a status of a beverage. Reb Shimon Omer, moichel ain't a kamashka. Reb Shimon argues and he says, no, the liquid that oozes out of the olive does not have the status of a mashka. But then he has to deal with the highest one. He says, "Umatam amr." Why did they say that moichel hayoytzel meikol besabad? And why did they say that the liquid that oozes out of the olives from the nets of the Beis Habad, which we explained, that's after that the oil was squeezed out of it, or even before, but that's the last phase that there is, that it's in these nettings, that there we said that it's tameh, that it's going to make it tameh. Why is it, if I'm telling you that the moichel does not have a status of a mashke, so how could it make something susceptible to tumah? That is, he says that the last one is different, lefi she'iaf sholei b'loy tzichtzuch heshemen, because it's not possible that moichel that's oozing out of the olives on the last phase, that it won't have some droplets of oil. And therefore, there it's also going to be considered a mashka to make something susceptible to tumah. But generally, the moichel itself, pure moichel, will not have the status of a beverage. That's the machlokes between Reb Yaakov and Reb Shimon. So therefore, Rabbi says that the Tana of this Mishnah in Mikvayis is like the Tana of the Brice Reb Yaakov, that he says that moichel has a status of mashka, and that's why if it gives a different color to a mikvah, it could disqualify it, because only an invalid mashka can disqualify a mikvah. However, the Gemara asks, my benayu, but what is the difference between Reb Shimon and Reb Yaakov? What are they arguing about? Since they both agree that the first phase moichel that comes out in the beginning, when it was just piled together, that will be tar, it will not make something susceptible to tumah because it's very watery and no one wants that. And similarly, they agree to the last phase when it's by the ma'akal beis habad, by the nettings that's there in the refuse in the olive press, that there we're going to say that it will convey tumah. So then, which moichel are they arguing about? That according to Reb Yaakov, it's a mashka and it will convey tumah, and according to Reb Shimon, it's not a mashka and it will not convey tumah, and it's going to be tar. And that the Gemara says, the difference between them, ikibinayu d'asi baser itzatzta, which is the middle phase. We're talking about the machlikas between them is the one that comes after that they're pressed together, that they're pushing one or the other, that after they start heating up and they're pushing one against the other, that if it stayed there many days, that is where we have the machlikas between Reb Shimon and Reb Yaakov, if that moichel is going to be considered mashka or not. But again, the first one everyone agrees is not. The last one everyone agrees that it will be considered mashka, and their machlikas is regarding this middle phase. However, when we consider something moichel, that is Reb Yaakov, that moichel is considered a mashke and therefore could disqualify a mikvah. And that, which is similar to the discussion we had in the Gemara before, that Rava argues on Abaye. And he says that regarding the first mission that we said that it's considered moichel, that it's going to disqualify a mikvah because it's going to be considered a beverage, that everyone agrees to. You don't have to say that's Reb Yaakov. And that is Mishum to have a davar she'in oisnem and a mikvah, because this moichel is something that it's not viable to go ahead and make a mikvah out of it. So since it's not kosher to make the mikvah, upaisel as a mikvah b'shinamara, and therefore it could disqualify the mikvah even with a change of color, even if it's not considered the status of a beverage, again, which is similar to the machlekes that we had in the previous Gemara of Rav Nachman and Rav Papa. The Rav Nachman had assumed that something has to be considered a mashka, and that's how we learned up in the halacha of Chizda to disqualify a mikvah with a change of color. And that's how Abaye had assumed regarding the moichel over here that it's a beverage to disqualify the mikvah, to which both Rav Papa and Rava had argued and said, no, it doesn't have to be considered a mashka to say that it's going to disqualify the mikvah with a shinamara, and even if it's not a mashka, and therefore it could be even the halacha of Reb Shimon, that moichel is not like a mashka, he could still be the tana in mikvahs and disqualify a mikvah based on the change of color. And now the Gemara resumes the discussion of what our dafim were talking about regarding the halachas of schita on Shabbos, squeezing out, although schita is asa on Shabbos. However, there are certain exceptions that it's not going to be considered schita, again, which is the toilada of dash in this case, of squeezing out a liquid from a sal, which is similar to doing dash, which is taking out the desired grain, the kernel of grain from the chaff, from what's outside of it. So that there are exceptions to that is not considered schita of taking out a liquid from a salad. That is Amar Behuda Meshmul. A person is allowed to squeeze out a cluster of grapes which is generally the Issur of Shechita on Shabbos, there's a case that you could do when you're squeezing out the grape juice, into a pot of food. That is, you have a pot of food and you want to make it taste better, and you want some grape flavor inside of it. Where here it's obvious that you're not squeezing out the grapes for the mashka as a beverage to drink it, rather you're taking it out for the food item that it's dripping into. That's not considered the regular way of mefarik, which is the telada of dasha, which is where schita is coming from, that you're detaching some one item from a different item, which in this case is a liquid from a solid, because here, in a sense, what you're doing is you're really separating a food item from a food item. That's not dash. Dash is when you're taking something that's edible from inedible, or a beverage from a food item. Here you're taking a food item from a food item because, although it's in a liquid form, it's really a food item because you're using it for the food that it's going into. That's considered oichel or teich oichel. You're taking the food from the grape and you're putting it into another food. It never really has a status at any point as a beverage, and therefore it's going to be mutter. That's not the halacha. That's not the malacha of shechita. It's going to be mutter. But you cannot squeeze the grape juice into a plate. And that is because sometimes people will squeeze it into a plate as for a beverage purposes. And although generally people don't drink from a plate, however, it's not obvious that you're not doing it for that, and therefore it's still going to be the Isser of Shechita on Shabbos. It's only mutter when you do it into a pot where you have food inside, where it's considered oichel teich oichel, and that's not a problem. But when you do it onto a plate, it's going to be a problem. So Rav Chizr says, from the statement of Shmuel, we learn a very similar halacha, that a person could milk a goat into a pot, again, which has food over there, but not into a plate. Again, the same idea, because you're taking it from a solid, from the food item, from the goat, and you're squeezing out a liquid, but it's going straight into the food. That's oichel teich oichel. It never really has a status of mefarik, of dash, of schita at any point in time, because it's not really a beverage from a food item. It's really a food item because it's going straight into food. Whereas by a plate, it's going to be also. So now the Gemara says, Almo, but what we do see is from the statement of Shmuel, when he says that a person is allowed to squeeze into a pot, that ksava mashka bala eichel eichelhu, that obviously, as we were saying, that is considered a beverage that is going into a food item, is considered already as a food item, because although in the ear or whatever it is, it's really a beverage and it should be schita, but since it's going to a food item, we really view it as part of that food item, and therefore, you never really did a mefarik. You're allowed to cut up in a grape. You're allowed to slice it because that's not mefarik. You're taking the food item and making a food item out of it. That's not a problem. Here also is considered food in the food. It's only a problem when you're taking a beverage from the food, which that's the problem of mefarik, of schita, of dash. And that the Gemara asks, most of Rami Bar Chama, this is a mission of Tyrus that says as follows. Zav shechoy levesa'ez. Regarding a zav, this is someone that had a certain impurity that comes out of his aver. This type of zav, if he milks a goat, hachal of tummy. So the milk is going to be tummy. And that is, the zav is metame anything that he puts his weight on it. Now here he's putting his weight on the stream. When he's milking the goat, he's putting his weight on there. And therefore he's going to commit tumma to that through the halacha of hesed, of putting his weight on the milk. And he's putting his weight on it by when he's milking it, so the stream is having his weight on it. Now, it doesn't make a difference when it says he's going to make tumma to the milk coming out of it. It doesn't say there's any difference if you're doing it into a pot or into a cup. And therefore, the Gemara's question is as follows. If it is as you want to assume that when there's a beverage that's going into a food item, it has the halachic status of a food item already. So therefore, the oichel cannot be makabel tumma, as we had said many times, without what's called hechsher. A food item has to be prepared, has to become made susceptible to tumma, only if it first comes in contact with one of the seven liquids. Before it does, it's not susceptible to tumma. And therefore, if we're considering this milk from the goat that's being milked, and we're saying it l'chayr is going, even when it's going into a pot, that it's going to have a status of a food item, so b'may yis kasher. Now how can you say that because he's putting his weight, the zav, on the milk, that it's going to become tummy, but it can't become tummy even if a zav is putting his weight in it with the halachas of tumas hesed, because it's a food item, because it's going into the pot of food. So we really view it as a food item. A food item has to first become susceptible to tumma. How is that? Well, one of the seven liquids coming in it. It didn't have any other liquid coming on it. So therefore, how can we say the zav with his weight is making a tummy if it's not susceptible yet to tummy? Because we don't view it as a liquid. We view it as a solid because it's going into the pot of food. And the solid has to first become susceptible to tummy. And that the Gemara says, Kedam Rabbi Yechonah. It says, Rabbi Yechonah says in Masechtas Krisis, where there the Gemara is discussing a woman that the milk from her breast dripped down. And that is, he says over there, "Betipa hamaluchleches api hadad," that the way that the milk that came out of the woman's breast, although there also it can have the status of a meichel, because it's going ahead and being used for meichel purposes. However, it becomes susceptible to tumah with the droplet of the woman's milk that's smeared on her nipple. And that is the first drop that comes out of her nipple. She smears on the nipple intentionally. And the reason why she does that is because it makes it easier to nurse. Now, that mashka is considered like a mashka, in other words, as a beverage, like regular milk, because that milk is not intended to be consumed by the child. It's not an oichel. Rather, it's there to just facilitate her nursing. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan over there says that first droplet is what makes the rest of the milk that comes out, which, yes, is a meichel, susceptible, because milk is one of the seven beverages that can make something susceptible to tumah. And that first droplet is not a meichel. Rather, it is actually a beverage, because she wants it as regular milk, not as oichel milk. Rather, because a milk that could be used for whatever purpose it is, which in this case is to facilitate the nursing. So, here also regarding the goat, although it's even, we're talking about it could be going into a pot, and therefore, yes, the milk from the goat is considered meichel. So how does it become susceptible to tumah that when the zav, when he's milking the goat, will consider it as if it's already susceptible to tumah by, now that with his tumah's hesed can make it susceptible to tumah? That's as we said, because the first driplet that comes out is what is intended to go ahead and facilitate the milking of the goat, again, not for meichel purposes, for the pot that's going into. That droplet is what's going to make all the other drops coming out susceptible to tumah, because although there are oichel there in contact with that first drop, which is considered chalav, and therefore, now that the zav puts his weight in it, it's going to be mekabel the tumah of tumas hesed of the zav. And that the Gemara asks, Masa Ravina, it says over there in that same statement, it says, regarding, however, someone that became tameh by coming in contact with a corpse, with a dead body, that he goes ahead and he squeezes olives and grapes. So we continue on to the top of Kof Memheim and Olive, where it says over there in the Mishnah in Tyrus that if the olives and the grapes were exactly the size of a beya, then tahar, then there's going to be tar. As the Mishnah over there explicitly explains, that as long as they didn't touch the liquid itself, he only touched the food item. And since it's exactly, precisely the size of an egg, therefore, when you squeeze out that first drop, you already are lacking the size of a kebeya, because it lost it now when the first drop came out. And therefore, the oichel, which is now the tamei mace, is tamei, he conveys tamei. However, this food item that now had the first drop come out, although he's tamei, he's not going to be able to mitame the mashkin, because an oichel that he's touching, which is less than the size of a kebeya now, cannot be mitame other things. In other words, when the mashka first becomes a mashka, the oichel is already not the size of a kebeya, and therefore, although it's tame, it cannot go ahead and convey its tumah to the mashka coming out, again, because it's already less than the size of a kebeya by the time the first droplet comes out. However, of course, if the tamei mace would touch the liquid itself, it would become tummy from the first drop already, because a mashka is mekabel tummy, even the size of a kol shu. And moreover, it says over there in the Mishnah in Tahiris, ha-yoysim mekebeya tummy, but if it was more than the size of a kebeya, then it would become tummy. And that is, since when the first drop comes out, the food item is still the size of a kebeya, because then we're talking about that it was larger than the size of a kebeya. So then it will convey tummy. It will, the food item that the tummy mace touched, that became tummy from a corpse, he touched the food item. Now, when he squeezed it out, the first drop, the food item, again, since it's larger in this case, is still the size of a kebeya, then it will convey its tumah to the liquid. Now, the reason why necessarily the Mishnah over there spoke about the case of tamei mace, Rashi explains that we were saying that we're trying to say that tamei mace, in contrast to the zav, that tamei mace is not going to convey tumah with hesed, with just putting its weight. And the same thing would apply to someone became tummy from a sheretz or anything that touches other items of tumah. But the reason why we pick tamei mace is just to say a bigger chiddush, that even though tamei mace is an av ha-tumah, but it's because in contrast to the sefer that says, but aval zav shaseichet zeisav ha-novim, that it says, however, regarding a zav, that if he squeezes olives and grapes, even if it's one small little grape, he's going to make it tummy, that since when the first drop comes out, the beverage will become tameh with the weight of the zav. And it's just contrasting, whereas by tamei meis, where he will not convey tumah if it's less than the size of a kebeya, because he does not have the halacha of hesed, of just putting pressure on the liquid will be metamed. So therefore, he can only make the liquid tameh if he's not actually touching it. He could only do it by being metame the food that he's touching, which will then go ahead and continue with the tumas eichlin to the liquid. But that's only, again, if it's the size of a kebay. If it's less than that, it cannot convey the tumah. So now the question is as follows. If it's, again, as we wanted to say in the statement of Shmuel, that a beverage that's going into a food item already has the status of a food item, and now the Gemara thinks that we're talking about even if you're squeezing it into a pot, so then b'mayis kasher, with what does the liquid become prepared to become tummy? How does the mashka become tummy through the beya of oichel? Again, in the case when there is more than the beya of oichlin, of the olive and the grape that the tamemeis is squeezing, how could, again, it become tummy if this liquid is going even to a pot? And if it's going to a pot, it has the status of a food item. A food item has to first become tummy from a mashka, has to become susceptible to tummy by touching a mashka. Now, which mashka did it touch? It's coming from an olive and a grape, which is solid. And this liquid that's coming out is going into a pot of food, which also has the status of a food item, not a mashka. And that the Gemara says, "Hu maisiv lo v'hu mefarkla." He asked the question, he answered the question. Besichit l'techakar. Obviously, we're talking about a case when you're squeezing it into a plate. You're squeezing the plate, there's no food there. There, the liquid that's coming out will have a status of a beverage. And that's what the case in the Mishnah, the Masechtas Tyrus, was talking about. That there, when we were contrasting the Zav and the Tamei Meis, that we said the Tamei Meis, if the food item, the olive that he's touching, is larger than the size of a kebeya, that then when the Tamei Meis is touching that, that it'll be metame that, which then can go ahead and be metame the liquid that's coming out of it, because when it's being squeezed, it's not being less than the shear of a kebeya yet. How is that possible? If it's going into food, it's not talking about a case when it's going into food, it's going into a plate or whatever it is, into a cup, and there the liquid that comes out will have a status of liquid, not a food item. And therefore, yes, of course, a liquid could go ahead and become tummy right away. It's not like a food item that first has to be prepared by coming in contact with a liquid. And again, that's why it's not a contradiction to Shmuel, because that case is talking about l'teichakar. But of course, if it was going to a pot of food, then the halacha of Shmuel would stand that then, yes, it would not become susceptible to the tumah of the tamei meis, because it never had in contact with a liquid, because it's coming from a salad and it would be going into a salad, and if it's going l'teich eichel, it itself has the status of an eichel and not of a mashka.